Let us pray for the message so we can be hopeful as we get something from it. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us today about waiting times and what that means in the context of who we are as your people in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the first Sunday of Advent. It's also that first Sunday, that Sunday after Thanksgiving, so it's kind of a strange day for preachers in terms of what do you talk about on a day like that. The other thing is that the first Sunday in Advent is also the beginning of the church year, so it's like like New Year's for the church, so we have that in here. We are waiting for the coming of the Christ child at this point in time, but we also have a theme during Advent, sometimes the waiting for the second coming of Christ. So this is kind of a strange kind of Sunday and a strange kind of message in terms of that thing, but we wait. It's a few days till Christmas, but we're also waiting for the second coming. We're waiting a few days for Christmas, but we're also waiting for the Lord to return. It's been a few days since Thanksgiving. Now we're waiting for the last days of 2016 and waiting for Christmas. So this period right here has many times been described as a waiting period. Today I want to talk to you about waiting a few days as we wait out the last days until the second coming of Christ, or until Christmas, or until the end of a situation or a circumstance in our lives. Waiting a few days, maybe in the last days of something. And it's not really wrapped, the scripture is not really wrapped around Christmas today. It's wrapped around the birth of the church when the disciples of Jesus waited a few days until the birth of the church took place on Pentecost. And I want to talk to you about that today for a few minutes. Now, I expect many of you are kind of like me. If you get sick or you're feeling really low or something's going wrong in terms of your life, in terms of maybe a crisis, but maybe just a circumstance or situation, then you are in that place where you kind of wonder, what do I do when I'm afflicted like this? Because it is kind of an affliction in life's circumstance, in our situations, in our relationships. It might have to do with our job or our health or our family relationships. It might have to do with a marriage, other things in life that just kind of cause us affliction at times. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes there is a special sense of God's presence in those times that descends upon me. It's not that I enjoy those kinds of things going on in my life, whether it be weakness or sickness or whatever, but I also feel a special dependency on God at those times that comes to me. I don't know if you ever feel like that, but it's kind of like, well, Lord, I really am in your hands at this point because there's not much I can do about it. And to tell you the truth, there's a part of me that's really thankful that I am in your hands. And when you do that, there's a release of something in terms of holding on to it. You may know that God didn't make you sick or afflict you. He may not cause the situation or circumstance, but somehow you can't really be too sorry for what you experienced because you know of the presence of him in your life. Now, I don't know if you ever settle into that kind of place where you can actually feel God's hand even in the presence of your affliction, whatever it might be. Those of you who walked with the Lord for quite some time may know what I'm talking about. It's not the affliction in the circumstance causing you distress that affects you so much as the presence of God in the whole thing. God's grace, his presence, holds you in the midst of our problems. He didn't cause the problems, but he is there with us in them. I don't know, I don't want to get into a theology of suffering, but I do know that that as surely as there are inescapable realities and difficulties and trials and tribulations, a lot of people want to indict God as the author of all those things, but that really confuses the issue. He is the author of our comfort. He is our consolation. He is the one who stands with us, who gives us strength in our weaknesses, that comes to us in those times when a lot of times we are waiting out days, either the last days of a situation in our lives or maybe just for a few days. In Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 12, the disciples of Jesus are going to the upper room. They have gone through the circumstance of Jesus' betrayal by one of the disciples, the crucifixion, and the resurrection. Jesus has ascended into heaven, and now they're waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Read with me verses 12 to 14. Here we go. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these, with one accord, devoted themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. The rest of the chapter, if you read it, it deals with the betrayal of Judas Iscariot. It talks about his betrayal as one who guided the Sanhedrin, who was the church of that day, to arrest and try Jesus and put him to death. They picked someone to replace Judas, who has walked with them during Jesus' ministry, and they accomplish Judas' replacement while they're waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit during this time. This period of time is 8 days long and is a week following Jesus' ascension. They didn't know how long it was going to be, though. We know because we can read the Bible. It was 8 days. Be like starting on this Sunday and then finishing at the end of next Sunday. But they didn't know that. They didn't know how long it was going to be. In the 24th chapter of Luke, they had been told by Jesus to stay in Jerusalem until they receive power from on high. In Acts chapter 1 here, verses 4 to 8, is a rehash of that time when Jesus was about to ascend. Let's read verses 4 to 8. And while staying with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but before many days you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." It says here in that last verse that they would be witnesses. Witnesses are evidence for a case. They have to do with verification of a proposition that is being presented in a court. In the courts of human affairs, there is a judgment that is being made by all of humanity throughout history now, whether this Jesus that we talk about is real, that he is the Son of God, that he is the one who is anointed by God's Holy Spirit to bring salvation to the world. We are witnesses, and the whole world is making the judgment call on that. Jesus said, "Stay in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high, and when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, when you have received power, you will be my witnesses." You become evidence for the case, Jesus is saying, that I am still alive, that I am the anointed one by God to be the Messiah, that my ministry is still continuing. And Jesus is saying, you stay where you are until the Spirit anoints you, and when the Spirit comes, you will know the Lord, the King of glory, the Messiah was not a fluke of history, but he's living in his church. You will be evidence for that fact. You will be my witnesses. You will be evidence, Jerusalem, and where you are now, and in Judea, Samaria, and to all the earth. This well-known verse in Acts 1:8, which says, wait in Jerusalem until you receive power, is fairly well known as the promise of the birth of Christ's church, which was to happen 8 days later at the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost was the beginning of harvest. As the harvest began, it was a high time of celebration. Pentecost was 50 days following the Feast of Passover. Passover was when they crucified Jesus. Jesus ascended into heaven 40 days after the resurrection, and at 50 days after the resurrection was the coming of the Holy Spirit. It was 8 days from this scripture. Now, Pentecost happens in late spring, but for us, harvest is in the fall, and God is very appointed about launching the harvest season of his church out into the world with the outpouring of his Holy Spirit on Pentecost. Or for us, it would be about now, the time of Thanksgiving. Pentecost is the birthday of the church, for it was on that day that the church was born. Today is the first Sunday in Advent, but it's also the first Sunday in the church year, which is the beginning of the church year. It's almost like these three things kind of come together here. The church has nothing to do with the facilities that we're sitting in either. The whole idea of church in Scripture is the concept of a group of people who have come to God through Jesus Christ and who are banded together in the love of God and are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit so that the church might, people might do the purpose and the work of God in the world today, that we might be his witnesses. All of this has to do with Pentecost or Thanksgiving time for us, harvest time. It all happened because a small group of people waited out a few days in order to start a period of time known as the last days. Now, what makes truth powerful is not something that happens in your head as you read about it, but what happens in your heart and then through your lives. Now, I want to be a person who moves in the power of the Holy Spirit, not a person who just understands a doctrine or a dogma because it seems the right thing to believe in, to embrace. A doctrinal statement is good, but living that truth is what life is really all about. And the power where you come to say, this happened to me. I came to know who Jesus was. God touched me by his Spirit and filled me with his Spirit. And I have come to live in this stuff now. If you look at this scripture in Acts, we see the disciples gathered in the upper room as they are waiting. It would be just a few days, but they are waiting. And now we think of time as a time of inactivity, but it really isn't. They were praying. They were resolving the issue of the one who betrayed Jesus. So let's look at this time of waiting. Even as we wait, this is harvest time in our world here. As we wait for the Christ, even in Christmas, we wait for the resolution of circumstances of our personal lives, because I guarantee you there are people here who have circumstances in your personal life right now. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things. First, they were to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. They didn't know how long that was going to be, except that Jesus had said, this will occur not many days from now. So they did have some encouragement in terms of that. Not many days from now. They're going to wait. There wasn't a calendar that said, like my calendar in my office, the Holy Spirit comes upon you at the Feast of Passover. They weren't told that. They didn't know that. They just said, wait. And so they wait. And so they prayed. They knew they were to wait, kind of like we are. Wait for Christmas. That's what Advent is really all about. waiting on God and the power of his resource for their lives. The thing that is interesting here, though, that is no sooner did that day come, the end of those few days, that they were introduced to another series of days, which we call the last days. When the Holy Spirit came upon those people, the crowds of people asked, what are we doing? What's going on here? And Peter stood up and he gave a sermon. And he said, what you're seeing is the fulfilling of the prophecy of the prophet Joel, the prophet who said it will come to pass in the last days that God will pour out his Spirit upon his people. In the last days, that will happen. So we are confronted at this time with a few days and also the last days. A few days from now, you'll experience the outpouring of the Spirit of God. I will come quickly. I will return. How long will that be? Well, that's the last days. And that will take some time. And one thing we know is not been a lot longer than they guessed. We know we live right now at the end of 2,000 years from the time of Christ in this world. As we live here in the year 2016, I really doubt that there's anyone who knows the truth about in terms of the second coming of Christ, but we don't doubt that he is coming. We can look at all the things that are happening around us in our society today. We can see the increase of intensity of things, which indicates that we are closer now than we were, say, 100 years ago. Jesus said that in the last days it would be as the days of Noah. And the sixth chapter of Genesis tells us about those times. They were violent times, they were evil times, but they were also twisted times in terms of the thinking of the world. And that's exactly the same thing that we live in today. We are living in times that hold in them the possibility that Jesus is soon going to return in the midst of the last days. We know as we look at Pentecost, which was the time of harvest, the birth of the church, we can see that that part of our lives as God's people, we're waiting out a few days, and we're waiting out the last days. You put three dots on a piece of paper, two of them are close together, the third dot is farther along the line, then you connect those dots, you have a timeline of waiting. The short distance is waiting for the power of the Spirit. When the Spirit came upon them, then there's two dots that extend a long distance, and that's the last days. A few days and the last days. It's a waiting time that we're looking at. Advent is a time of waiting. The last days is the empowerment to wait until Jesus comes again. But they weren't doing nothing then either when they were waiting. Jesus would say it this way, I give you power to wait until I come again, and that power is the power with which to serve until I come again. You may not have noticed the relationship between those two phrases, a few days and the last days, but you will be my witnesses in this world. There's a great tendency in this time to receive the power of the Spirit and then look for some way to escape, some way out of it all. You know, we're always looking for ways out of our situations or our afflictions or our circumstances or maybe just out of this world. We want Jesus to come on our terms is what we're looking for. We don't want to have to wait through the last days of our circumstance or maybe the last days of our situation or our environment, whatever is afflicting us in terms of that. We can take this picture of the last days out of the picture of waiting for Jesus to come again, and we can apply it to our personal lives in terms of our families, in terms of our church life, in terms of what's going on in our lives right now. So let's bring it into our circumstance, our lives. There are some of us, and with this many people say, well, I know there are things going on in our life. And we go through days that appear to be kind of like last days. Last days maybe for a job because it's been announced that the plant's closing or something like that. But we have last days in terms of life situations. When people die in our lives, you come to the last days of their lives. The truth is, the power of the Holy Spirit is given to people to flow into our lives, to give us confidence and to give us strength that is not based upon that which is temporary and transient in this world and which is like our life situations. We let ourselves be shaken by what is going on in our lives rather than relying on the power of the Holy Spirit to give us the strength that we need to work and to be in these situations of our lives. As the disciples waited, they are about to receive power from on high for them to wait out the last days as God's witnesses, his servants. And one truth that we can learn is we also who wait will receive power to wait out our last days, whether those last days may be a situation in our life or circumstance. People who live in a marriage, they know that they're in the last days of their marriage, or at least they think so. And if God is with you, you get touched by the Holy Spirit, it can infuse your marriage with power to live and to get through tough times. Receive the power of the Holy Spirit to live through those last days. Not only the coming of Jesus from heaven, but when Jesus will come into that economic situation, or that marriage situation, or that health situation, or maybe it's a ministry situation, or your kids' situation. A few days from now, you will receive power to live out the last days. In the waiting time, whether it's a few days or it's a last days kind of thing, it is the power of the Holy Spirit that is given to us that, so that we can live out. And we don't just have to worry about a doctrine or a piece of a dogma. We have a real reality in terms of a comforter, a counselor, someone who gives us fire and strength for the living of these days to carry us along through those last days or those tough times in our lives. These few disciples were told to wait a few days in order to embark on a last day's ministry. They waited those few days. They were resolving ministry issues. They were in prayer. They were not doing nothing. And when the church was born a few days later, they began a second waiting period. But the church of Jesus Christ is not doing nothing during that waiting period. It is a time of ministry as we wait for his second coming. Now, I don't know where you are, but whether you're in one of those periods of waiting, it's a few days for something, or maybe it's a period of waiting out last days, you know, something has to get resolved. It can be a period of active waiting where you wait upon the Lord, but he shall renew your strength. The most powerful scripture that I've ever come across on this kind of thing is Psalm 37. Now, I've done a whole message on it, but I want to just walk through a few verses with you to give you encouragement for the waiting out of these days. Read with me verse 1 and 2. Here we go. A Psalm of David. Fret not yourself because of the wicked. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Don't worry about those who do evil or speak evil, because they will disappear from the environment soon. Wait upon the Lord a few days or in those last days. Read verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will dwell in the land and enjoy security. Trust. Have faith. Put your future in God's hands. Just continue to do what is right, and things will be resolved, and you will still have your place in this life with God's protection. Wait upon the Lord for these few days or in these last days. Verse 4. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Focus your joy in the Lord's presence in your life. And you will have him present. Your heart's desires shall be seen. Wait upon the Lord for a few days more, or in these last days. Read with me 5 and 6. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your vindication as the light, and your right as the noonday. Submit your life to Jesus and have faith, and he will come and move in that circumstance. And when he does, he will be the witness which makes your victory come forth like a new day. Wait upon the Lord for a few days or during these last days, and you will see your victory. Read with me verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over him who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Be still and wait. And don't worry about those who plot evil, and it appears they are winning, because the Lord will deal with them soon. Wait upon the Lord, and in just a few days, or in these last days, will come vindication. Read with me verses 8 and 9. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall possess the land. Don't get mad, and don't let your anger destroy you. And don't worry either. It just tears you up inside and out. In just a few days or in these last days, those or that which will do evil will disappear. But if you just wait upon the Lord a few days, or in these last days, you will still have the life and place that is appointed to you. This psalm has always spoken to me. It is a word as we wait for the few days or in these last days for the coming of our Lord Jesus. The pathway to Pentecost is a path of waiting out a few days or waiting out the last days. But we wait upon him. It is a place of strength and peace and victory this Advent, as we wait. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would give us that sense of what it means to really wait for you and to wait upon you and to work while we wait as your people to be your witnesses in this world. For Jesus' sake, amen.